broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Welcome back. We thank Jay Santos for staying with us for a couple of hours and answering questions to the best of his ability, although he, I believe, was the right recipient of the audience's confusion and sometimes anger when he's talking about pulling people over and asking them who they're talking to on the phone. And the whole thing about that lady was so fat, we pulled her out of her car to make sure that her weight didn't violate what was required for the axle on that SUV. And she wound up taking down three, count them, three Citizens Auxiliary police officers with her weight as they tried to zip tie her hands. So
she almost like beat them all up.
She didn't beat them up, but according to Jay, she was big and bad. And you know what, Jay? You know me, man. I keep having you back on the show, so you can't find fault with Phil Hendry. I give more play to the Citizens Auxiliary Police than anybody in the history of mortal man on this planet. But I'm telling you, you're not making any friends when you say, who are you talking to? And you're going to throw the guy's phone like you're Eric Davis trying to hit home plate? Come on. So anyway, that was that. Thank you very much, Jay. We were planning on having Bobby Dooley on to talk on the use of on the use of alcohol and cigarettes by teens. We'll probably have Bobby on tomorrow night or sometime, either tomorrow night or Friday night on our show. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is our news and information hour, and we have a bunch of really jackass stories. They're interesting, but they're irritating, too. Like here, the protester is named Time's Person of the Year.
What's that?
The Person of the Year?
Yeah.
It's the Person of the Year.
It's what Time Magazine always do it. Like a Person of the Year that... What?
It's weird. They say it's the most influential or significant person in the news that year. Okay?
Yeah.
So this year, you know, the year of 2011, they said was the protester.
Yeah, but sometime, like they said, one time they said it's Hitler.
What?
What's that mean?
It's not an award. It's not even an award. It's acknowledging that one person had some very serious impact on the world. So Hitler, you know, you can't deny Hitler had a huge, he had a big impact, a big influence on the world, you know. And the Ayatollah Khomeini from Iran, so.
Yeah, now they're seeing like a protester, what he did.
Yeah, but what are they talking about, like Occupy Wall Street?
Yeah, Occupy Wall Street and everything.
Right. So they're saying the Occupy Wall Street people.
I don't know, man. That seemed like what you said was boring.
It is boring. It's lazy. That's what I hate about Time's Person of the Year. More than anything else, it's just a lazy exercise. Oh, well, I guess we're going to do it again. I don't look forward to it. I don't know anybody that does look forward to it. I just think it's just being carried forward of its own momentum. It's jive ass, I think, is the term scientists call it. I think the scientific term for it is bull hockey or BS. All right. SAG Award nominations, the nominees' reactions. The SAG Awards, this is the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Now, this is different from the Oscars. It's different from the Tonys. It's different from the Grammys. It's different from the Mammies. It's different from the Yo Mamas. It's different from the Obamas. It is the SAG Awards.
Yeah, if your dad give it out to people whose boobs...
Oh, shut up.
Now, why don't you grow up?
If they call it a SAG.
Screen Actors Guild. That's why it's called SAG. I didn't used to like these awards because I always felt, well, it's a union. The Screen Actors Guild is a union. What are they doing? What's with the awards ceremony, Jack? I mean, go out and get people jobs, man. Go out and get people improve working conditions. That's what unions are supposed to do. But then I realized, well, it is kind of cool because it's actors nominating each other. So they don't have to go to the Academy of the gigantic bitchin' movie thing to get an Oscar. They can, you know, go to their peers, which is very nice, I think. Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Film, Armie Hammer, in J. Edgar. Do you see this?
J. Edgar Hoover, you said it's a movie about a gay guy. I thought it was about FBI.
It's about the FBI director, J. Edgar Hoover, who was gay, yes. Any other director would have... Okay, so anyway, John... What is this, CGI? I've given everyone I work with strict instructions, like we're not going to talk about this kind of thing. My job on J. Edgar was finished the last time Clint said shop or stop. So everything that's happened since is a perk of working with all those talented people. I think part of the movie's appeal is the nostalgia. All right, so anyway, John Cryer, 2 and a Half Men, outstanding supporting actor in a TV series. This is for the SAG Awards, yeah. Owen Wilson, Midnight in Paris, outstanding drama ensemble. What's that mean, drama ensemble?
They're like people wear, right?
No, it ain't clothing. It's,
You're a decor ensemble.
It's not clothing. It's an acting group of people as an ensemble. Anyway, it's an honor to be recognized by your peers, and I thank my fellow SAG members for this nomination. I'm proud to have been a part of such an incredible ensemble, as well as Woody Allen's vision. When they start talking about visions, it's scary. Jonah Hill in Moneyball, he's nominated for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Film. I'm incredibly moved and so grateful to my fellow actors that I feel like I'm going to start to cry. Please excuse me.
You didn't say that, did he?
No, he didn't, but I thought I'd jazz it up a little. Glenn Close for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama and Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series for Albert Nobbs and Damages.
What's that?
I don't know.
Sound like a hardware store? Albert's Knobs.
Albert's Knobs? That's funny. No, Albert Nobbs and Damages. Two different series. Thankfully, Albert Nobbs never had to be in a room with Patty Hughes. Anyway, Octavia Spencer for The Help, a supporting actress in a film. I was awake at 2:45 a.m. I hadn't invested emotionally in this process until now. I didn't want the disappointment, but everything hit me last night. It could be real. I didn't watch the... Okay, so... Patrick J. Adams for Suits, outstanding actor in a TV drama. Christopher Plummer for Beginners, outstanding supporter. Bejo and The Artist. Kenneth Branagh for My Week with Marilyn.
What's that about?
I don't know. I didn't see these flicks, man. It's My Week with Marilyn. It's an outstanding supporter in a movie. Jessica Lange, a whole bunch of people. I'm sorry, I didn't know it was going to be this many people. Betty White.
She's great, man. Everybody likes Betty White, especially one commercial. Your girlfriend. Remember that one?
Yeah, that's great. Hot in Cleveland. Outstanding lead actress in a comedy. Giancarlo Esposito, Breaking Bad, outstanding drama ensemble. Nick Nolte in Warrior. Michael Sheen, Midnight in Paris. And James Cromwell, The Artist. Wow. Some pretty good actors there. So there you go. That's the SAG Awards. But, you know, you guys will see it on TV, and I'm sure it'll be a groovy thing.
What would you do if they ever nominate you?
I would like to think that I would. I've told myself, you know, if you ever get nominated for one of these awards, I would like to think that I would do something original, like just I liked what George C. Scott did. He didn't even want to show up for the Academy Awards for Patton. Did you hear about that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you didn't know it? Well, you guys are very young. 40 years ago. 40 years ago, this spring, as a matter of fact, George C. Scott, no, was it 1970 he won it for? In any event, George C. Scott got nominated for Patton. And his reaction was unique in all of the history of the Academy Awards. I've never heard a reaction like this before. He said, I'm not interested in receiving awards. He said, artists should not be in competition with each other that way. He said, I have no interest in it. So it was quite a, you know, it was quite a moment, because the Academy Awards then, as it is today, is everybody's, wow, you know, you get an Academy Award.
He said he didn't want to get it.
That's right. He said he couldn't care less. He was disinterested in it. And it was quite a shocker for people going, really? He says, I'm not interested. And it was kind of a countercultural thing to do. It was very popular among a lot of the young people, and everybody looked at the Academy Awards in those days as a representation of this kind of artificial Hollywood thing that had been going on, you know. Although the movies were really starting to get good there in the late 60s. So anyway, make a long story short, he did not show up. He did win. He did not show up for the award. It was accepted by the film's producers. And that was the end of that. George C. Scott snubbed the Academy. Now, the word is, and I don't know intimately the details, but as the years went on, this is probably, you can take this any way you want. You can take this as gossip or rumor starting by an industry that was angry with him. Because, let's face it, you know, when you say to the Academy Awards, "I'm not interested in your award, I'm an actor and I believe in doing a good job, but I don't think artists should be," you know, they were put out with him. And the rumor got started and became rather, I would think, believable that George C. Scott later in his life wanted to attend the Academy Awards and couldn't get in. He had basically rescinded his front row status, if you will, and toward the end of his life was calling to see if he could get two tickets to the back of the hall and this kind of thing. I don't know whether that was true or not, but do you know that when he finally passed on, the great George C. Scott, he lived not more than a mile away from me. He lived in Westlake Village. And
yeah, you see him. You didn't know him or anything.
No, I never knew him. I didn't meet him. He was living in one of the little duplexes on the lake, not more than probably a half a mile to a mile away from where I lived. Had I run into him, I would have been just floored to see George C. Scott's out here.
You really like this guy.
George C. Scott? Hell yeah. He was a great actor, man. The Hustler? I mean, Patton? You know, Anatomy of a Murder? This guy was fantastic. But there were photographs of him at the end of his life. He's going into the market, and people said, "Was that George C. Scott? He was very nice." Everybody said he was a very nice man, but had retired out there to Westlake Village. I don't know. So anyway, that I would like to think that I would have that kind of cool, but I don't think so, you know.
Yeah, if you do that, they're going to be pissed off.
I think that you have to, even if you genuinely don't care about getting an award, I think you got to pretend like you do. I think you have to go, "Oh, wow, this is so great. Thank you so much." Otherwise, it yanks people the wrong way. I think you got to go, "Boy, you know, thank you."
Yeah, but you'd feel that genuinely anyway, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. Like I said, I would like to think, but dude, I'm not getting any awards, okay? I ain't even going to get any awards in radio. The only award I want is a big bag of money at some particular point.
Coin or bills?
I'd like it in bills. I'd like a big bag, like one of those bank bags, filled with notes. American currency notes in denominations of, say, $10,000 on up. Okay? Thank you and good night. All right, we're going to be right back on a Phil Henry Show here. The protester is named Time's Person of the Year. Did we already do that? Oh, yeah. Mobile safety common sense. Now, we talked about this with Jay Santos, but these are some 10 things you should never do on a cell phone, probably stuff you've already thought of. And Barbara Walters will preview tonight's most fascinating people lineup. Did she already do this? Let's find out who the most fascinating people are, man, from Barbara Walters, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I was looking for this list. I guess I shouldn't care, but what Barbara Waller's 10 most, what is it?
Most fascinating people. Well, I don't think they have the list, but they did say what the number one one was.
Who?
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, the most fascinating guy? All right, this is the end of the year, so we're going to be driven crazy with these things. Who's the most fascinating? Who is this? Who's that? We're all going to disagree. We're going to say, why do I look at these lists? They suck. But it does give us a look at what was the, I don't know, what was the focus of media attention. See, what we're finding, and especially in talk radio, and you would be interested, folks, as listeners to talk radio, you'd be interested in this particular little bit of information I'm going to impart here, that they're finding now the things that a lot of talk hosts think are so fascinating. The Obamas of the world and the political process of the world and the Republican this and the Tea Party that and the Wall Street, you know, all how many Democrats in the Senate are going to vote this and what are the Republicans in the Congress doing that? The fixation the talk radio has had on this, the word is coming back that people, the average person, you guys, you don't care. Now, I could have told them that, but then that would... I would have missed out on all the fun of seeing their faces when they got it officially from all of their research. So what is it that the American people focus on? Well, we focus on different things at different times. Are we all into Katy Perry? Not as much as the Entertainment Weekly would have us believe. Are we fascinated with, you know, the Kardashians? Not as much as, I mean, the Kardashians one day, maybe Katy Perry another day, and then maybe it's something to do with a high school that some teacher did something, and then maybe there's something to do with a little kid someplace, or someone's flat, or maybe it doesn't have anything to do with any of that. Maybe it's just we've got vacations coming up, we have Christmas coming up, we have our children, and we have our relatives, and we have our lives, we have our careers. But, you know, there are days the American people are simply not headline watching, they're not celebrity watching, they're not doing any of those things that you would be shocked, folks, to know what it is we in the media waste our time focusing on, thinking that you're all fascinated with it. I don't believe for a second that every waking moment of every waking day is spent obsessing over these celebrity headlines that we see, because we're in the middle of this crap. You know, I'm right here in the middle of the information center. I work in radio, so whatever happens, it hits me first. You guys may not get it for days, weeks, months, if at all. So when I see Barbara Walters with her top 10 this, or I see a celebrities of the year, I'm not going to put it down. What I want to do is I want to see, well, to me, what I'm looking at is a list of things that were fascinating to media people, and as the result, they pushed it a lot, and as the result, you guys saw a lot of it. Now, are you interested in it? To the extent that magazines are sold or TV shows are watched, you are, but, you know, take a look at the average television show and the kind of ratings that it gets. If it gets a, let's say if a TV show gets a 9 or a 10, that means 9% or 10% of the TV sets that were on watched that show. Is that a lot of people? Not really. That's 9 or 10% of the sets that were on. That means that there's a whole bunch of other people out there that weren't watching that show if they were watching TV, and there's a whole bunch of other people out there that weren't watching TV. But you'd swear to God, talking to the people that were involved with the show that got 9 or 10% and the media that covers it, that it's just everywhere. It reminds me of that...
I was going to say, remember Beckham come over to L.A.?
That's exactly what I was thinking of, man. When Beckham... Is that the guy's name, Beckham?
Yeah, the guy that plays soccer. The guy that...
He married that posh Spice lady.
Yeah, Beckham. Is that his name, though? Beckham? Well, I don't want to say it's Beck.
That's Glenn Beck.
He don't play soccer?
Uh-uh.
All right. Beckham, yeah, I'll never forget. It was the funniest thing you ever saw in your life. Because they had a British reporter, and I might have been watching a British television show or a network, but they had a British reporter stationed at LAX, Los Angeles International Airport, as Beckham had gotten off the plane, and he'd gotten off the plane with his wife, you know, what's her name, Virginia or Posh or something. What's her name, anyway?
I think it's like, you know, Posh. What's Posh?
That's her Spice Girl name. What?
I don't know, man. Like Emily or something.
Yeah, Emily.
Yeah, whatever. So she's walking with him, and he's walking, and this British guy's like, here comes Beckham now. All of Los Angeles is a guy. Yeah, right. You know, like no one even knew the guy was in town. And this guy says, Beckham has arrived at the Galaxy and this and that and soccer and this glamorous couple just made for a city like this. And meanwhile, it's like if you were to really concentrate and look, you'd see like one guy chewing gum, another guy smoking a cigarette, somebody kind of prying some dog crap off their boot, some red cap yawning, waiting for someone to tip him so he could take their... I mean, it wasn't anybody.
Dude, nobody even gave a darn.
Exactly. But, and Beckham, for their part, I have to say, Beckham wasn't making a big deal. He's just walking down the thing. And this guy says, yes, Beckham, in all the glamour and all the glory is Beckham. Today, Beckham, tomorrow, Beckham, and every day until the hereafter, Beckham, you know. And, it just wasn't like that. So, to be honest with you, that cat probably would have gotten fired had he not made a big deal out of it.
Why do you say that?
Because... I mean, come on, man. You know, his superiors are back there in London, and they're saying to him, come on, man. You know, I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. Wouldn't you I mean, that dude didn't do that without his boss's approval, you know?
Yeah, they probably got a different, whole different standard of journalism over there. They'd probably fire a guy for that here.
What makes you think they'd fire a guy for that here?
Ain't we got a higher standard?
Not hardly. But, I mean, it is kind of embarrassing to tell a reporter, yeah, go out and make a big deal out of it when nobody gives a sweet you-know-what. All right. Coming back on a Phil Henry Show, just a couple of news notes. The Clippers have got Chris Paul, not the Lakers. Who cares? And those safety tips on
Phil
cell phones.
Henry.
Coming up.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the Phil Henry Show. It is world famous, and that's a that and 5 cents
gumball.
We got a game around here now. We call it that and 5 cents will get you
gumball.
That's all you can say is gumball, man. It's not much of a game.
Well, that's a good point. It is not much of a game if all you can say is gumball. But there's got to be some. What 5 cents will get you? Forget it.
There's got to be like 5 cents. What costs a nickel?
Like a stamp, man.
Stamp?
Well, you know, for instance, if you needed 5 cents because you needed 5 cents for the change of, I don't know. Mobile safety common sense, 10 things you should never do with a cell phone. Now listen to this. Please, 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 ladies and gentlemen, be very, very careful and very, very conscious of these things, what I am going to tell you about here. Because this is really important when you're on your cell phone. For instance, don't be driving when you're talking.
Hey.
Thank you. That's right. Don't drive while talking on your cell phone. Do we have to remind you? Yes, we do. See, one of the problems, and I don't know where it started, but because the NTSB is thinking about this, that means there's a problem someplace. Now, I read that story, and I scratched my head and other parts of my anatomy as I read it, and I thought, there's some lack of safety. Now, I do know an individual who was rear-ended. She had her kids in the car with her. She was hit by some dumbass. And I have to tell you, the guy was like 19, came around a corner, texting while he's driving, this sack of crap. Runs right into her. She winds up in the hospital in critical condition. The kids are okay, thank God. They had to cut her out of her car. See, it does happen, folks. It does happen. And when it happens, and let me say something else. A lot of us will say, well, what's the percentage of it happening? All it has to do is happen to you one time and put you either in a wheelchair, kill a member of your family, or kill maybe more than one person, and you won't care whether it only happens once or twice in a whole blue moon. It happened enough. That's what we seem to be saying in our society. And I don't know that I disagree with it. We're saying, somebody died as the result of this. Well, it was only one person, and that's the only person that's died in the last 3, 6, 10 minutes, or whatever. I don't know. Now, we say, well, that's too bad, but it wasn't me. Meanwhile, there's some guy out there, he's lost a wife, a kid, whatever he's lost, because a guy was texting, and I lost my family member because this ass was texting while he was driving? That's not very safe. How do you know? Because someone died that I know. Now, it may not be a big deal to us, but it's a big deal to him. So that guy is going to make all kinds of noise. And he's going to go to Congress, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't do this. I'm telling you what happens, and you know it as well as I do. He's going to go to Congress. He's going to find a sympathetic congressman. Now, that man who lost a family member to some jackball texting, I have great sympathy for that man. I might even take his part in promoting what it is he wants to promote in terms of legislation. The congressman I may have some sympathy for, but now my sympathy is beginning to, you know, it's at a lower level because, as you know, as I know, as we all know, congresspeople are looking for issues that they can get their their arms around. It reminds me of the scene in Milk, where Josh Brolin, who plays Dan White, is drunk as he talks to Harvey Milk, played by Sean Penn. And Sean Penn says to him, "You need an issue. You need to have an issue that you can stand on." You know, I have my issues around neighborhood, yeah, my gender, and you don't have one, Dan. You need an issue. He says, I got issues. And he puts it, Dan White's got issues. Well, yeah, he had issues, all right.
Yeah, he's in a closet. That's his issue.
Maybe. But their congresspeople are looking for issues. And you get a congress guy, you walk up to him and you say, I got a guy for you. What? Oh, he lost his wife to a kid that was texting. Man, this is to be a beautiful thing for you to climb all over. I could get photo ops. Oh, yeah? I know it sounds cynical, but that's exactly what happens. And, of course, the congressman's going to say, well, I don't know. I can't if something. But if you believe in it, you know what? I think that that's a good issue. And I support anything that's done to minimize it. So it becomes his issue. Now, that's how that works, folks. And the next thing you know, you and I are standing around and we're saying, what? We used to buy fireworks on the 4th of July. What happened? Well, people were getting burned. Well, now, wait a minute. How many? One's enough. That's the answer we got, and that's the end of that. And the Congress passes the law, and we just go along with it. We go along with it. The biggest bum rush in the history of this state, California, that I remember in recent years, was the helmet law for motorcyclists. To this day, I don't know why that law passed. There was nothing, and that includes all of this so-called documentation about emergency room visits by motorcyclists without helmets, which was completely fabricated. There's nothing, no reason to pass that law. It's not going to save anybody's life other than the motorcyclist. In other words, it's I'm protecting him against himself. What? Mr. Hendry, these people come into the... No, they don't, because the statistics were not there. I read conflicting reports about that. And finally, the San Jose Mercury News, a damn good newspaper, came out with the story that said this is all made up, all fabricated, the so-called emergency room visits. Bullcrap. But people are running around wearing helmets now. Well, is it a stupid law? Yeah, it is a stupid law. It'll always be a stupid law, because while we may feel, you know, like we're really great people looking at all these cats wearing helmets, I don't give a damn. What do I care? Guy falls off the motorcycle and turns his brain into like a cantaloupe that fell out of a truck. What do I care? It's no sweat off of me. Somebody going to say to me, well, that's real Christian of you. Whoa, man. What are you talking about? What do you mean real Christian of me? I thought we're passing laws that are necessary for the welfare of people. Like, for instance, I'll give you a good law. A guy texting while he's driving, that threatens me. I don't care if that guy dies in a ball of fire. Doesn't matter to me at all. His car could go off a cliff and turn into a gasoline explosion, the likes of which would rival Hiroshima. It wouldn't bother me in the least. What bothers me is that same jackass texting. He runs into my family. He kills a family member of mine. That's a problem. That's why we need a law, see? The helmet guy? I don't give a damn if that guy falls off of his motorcycle 100 times and turns into a blithering, gibbering idiot. Doesn't make any difference to me. You show me how that's affecting me, and you better prove it, too. Don't show me a bunch of phony numbers like they did when they passed that law. Then I'm all for it. You know?
What about a guy flying off his bike, he's not wearing a helmet, and comes crashing in to your car and everything?
What, man? Well, he's not wearing a helmet.
But tell me how that's going to hurt me. What's that going to do to me?
Well, if he goes headfirst into your windshield and his brains go, it'll block your windshield, his brain, his head.
It'll block my windshield if his head turns in, just smashes against my windshield and spreads all over the place. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think that could possibly have happened even once in the last 5 years in the state of California. What do you think about that?
You don't know.
Now, you know what? I'd be willing to bet that hasn't happened but one time, not once. And maybe it's happened once in 10 years. It's more likely that guy's going to hit my windshield with his helmet and cracked the crap out of my windshield. And guess what's happening there, man? Now I can't see diddly squat because my windshield is cracked. I may have windshield flying back in my lap. I know it's safety glass, but... Number two.
You're going to get the whole list.
I know. I was going to get... Mobile safety common sense. Number one was drive. Don't drive while talking. Number two, losing a smartphone without password protection. That's stupid. You lose your smartphone without your password protection. Well, some scumbag finds it and you know the rest. The third thing that you shouldn't do with a cell phone, access banking information. Don't access any sensitive information with a cell phone because those signals are flying through the air and can be hijacked at any given moment by someone who's out there looking to hijack signals. And they do. Don't download applications from unknown sources on your cell phone. All right? And I don't know how many times we're asked, would you like to download this app? Would you like to download that app for your cell phone? I'm not a big app user. Let me tell you, number one, most mobile sites suck. Let me repeat, most mobile sites suck. Why? Because they were very hurriedly created and made user-friendly, quote-unquote, because everybody was app-crazy, and you get what you pay for, man. You know, you get an app development company that may not cost as much as another one, but the app isn't all that good. It looks cheesy, and your mobile site looks like garbage. Go to some of these mobile sites that newspapers have. Oh, my God. And by the way, Channel 9, WFTV in Orlando, Florida, Your mobile site is the worst on record, man. You know, I used to be able to access your video archives because I was following the Casey Anthony trial. Now, I can't do it. So I gave up on the Casey Anthony trial. As a result, I wasn't informed, and I think she's innocent, and I want to marry her. All because of you, Channel 9 in Orlando.
Hey, Mr. Henry, very good.
Thank you. All right. Number five. Don't share personal information over unsecured networks. This should be a no-brainer, but dummies and kids probably do that. That is, don't share personal information over unsecured networks. Number six, don't text while you're driving. Some people think they're really good at it. Some people think that they can do it. Some people think I have a special skill. There's all kinds of things we tell each other. And guess what? You're going to think that all the way up to that moment when your car goes right underneath that tractor trailer with the thousands of gallons of gasoline that it's carrying. You know, I can't even tell you the stories, you know.
You know a lot of people that have been in an accident?
I know a lot of people that have been in bad accidents, yeah. Yeah. Yes, I do. One guy I worked with in radio, he's actually a very good actor, and he has done parts in a lot of different TV shows. Guy that I knew in radio back in the 80s, David Hall, not David G. Hall, but David Hall, Dave Hall, H-A-L-L, is an actor. But Dave was involved in a horrific automobile accident underneath a truck, got pinned, fire, you name it, lost his legs. I don't think he had both of his arms, but he had he has visible scarring from the burns. Nothing too serious, but yeah, when you lose both your legs, man, yeah, but he's made that work for him. Hasn't made that work for him, but he was on one of the CSI shows as one of the investigators or something, and he's played handicapped guys. He's done a lot of great work, and Dave was also our music director years ago at KNX FM. But yeah, I've known people that have been in some bad accidents, man. And now, I don't know what Dave, this was back in the 80s, so there was no texting. He might have been. The biggest problem we had back then, people falling asleep, you know?
I was going to say, what happened to Marilyn Monroe when her head come off?
Her head didn't come off. Why do you keep with that, okay?
Well, everybody thinks it does.
I don't care if everybody thinks her head came off. Marilyn Monroe, and it wasn't Marilyn Monroe, you mean Jane Mansfield?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Jane Mansfield's head didn't come off. That poor woman's wig came off. But, you know, it's nothing to fool around with. You're going to be sitting there texting, and you get into an automobile accident in a big-ass heavy car. That's a lot of speed. That's a lot of metal. You're going up against a lot of speed and a lot of metal. You're out on a deserted highway. You don't know what. And, friend, you won't know what hit you. It's loud. The car is going all over the place. Your body is suddenly being rocked all over the place. Glass is breaking. If the car's upended, suddenly you are completely disoriented. You hear and feel the very hard smacking of the roof of the car hitting the pavement as the car is going end over end. You're consciously sort of putting yourself into a ball to try to protect yourself as this thing is just flipping around, and you finally, it winds up quiet. You're smelling gasoline. You're in pain. You're upside down. You may have a passenger with you who is crying or screaming or in pain. And friend, all of a sudden, in the span of a few seconds, you've gone from turning the dial on the radio to listen to the, Coast to Coast or Phil Hendry show to where the hell am I? And you're hoping that all of those lights that you see are somebody's going to come and help you.
Man, I don't even want to drive a car if you said that.
Well, I'm just telling you. When you're in a car, it's got to be about business. Ask the truckers that we're talking to. These guys are professionals. The truck drivers, they know. Professional drivers, man. Don't be screwing around out there. All right, number 7, forego standard security practices readily followed on desktops. Don't do that on your cell. Don't access corporate email from unsecured networks. Don't share location information when away from home. And don't choose the wrong service plan. That's a hot one. All right. So those are your safety tips. So we'll wrap up in our final segment here on the Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, well, this is I don't even want to read that story.
No, it's very important information.
I don't want to read. It's about women getting attacked. It's bumming me out. All right, foreclosures are on a are down, so that's kind of cool. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
I don't want to leave the air with some bummer stories, man, you know?
Yeah, but very important about it.
Hey, bud, I'll decide what's important, okay? I don't want to leave the air with a lot of bummer stories. Excuse me. Welcome back here, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We've got some stories about domestic assault. We'll get to them tomorrow night, okay? Is that good enough for you? I want something cool. I want to talk sports, okay?
Yeah, what about talking about Chris Paul?
Nobody cares about basketball. Only tall black guys do.
Hey.
Man, I'm going to kick his ass. You don't let me kick his ass.
Kidding.
Yeah, that one of these days, that joking around, man, I'm not going to hold him back. Chris Paul is on his way to Hollywood, joining the biggest collection of NBA stars in a single arena and creating a true basketball rivalry in Los Angeles for the first time. This is a New York writer telling us this. Howard Beck in the New York Times. Is that right, Howard? Chris Paul's on his way to Hollywood, joining the biggest collection of NBA stars in a single arena and creating a true basketball rivalry in Los Angeles for the first time. It's the Clippers, Jack. We'll believe it when we see it. The Clippers, long overshadowed by the Lakers, acquired Paul from the New Orleans Hornets on Wednesday night, ending a twisting, contentious chapter in league history. Paul, an elite point guard, will be joining Blake Griffin, one of the league's most electrifying players. The pairing rivals Lakers' Kobe Bryant and Paul Gasol in star power and could eventually overtake them. Paul is just 26, while Griffin, the reigning rookie of the year, and slam dunk champions 22. The intrigue comes with asterisks and anger. If that's what you call the biggest collection of superstars, yeah, those four guys you mentioned, and they play on opposite sides. So that means the Clippers have two and the Lakers have more. But look at the Clippers have had stars before, my man. Although I can't think of them right now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look them up.
What about Danny Farmer?
Anyway.
Wasn't he a superstar?
Danny Farmer? No, I don't think superstar is the word that I would. I'm sure he's a great guy if you're listening, Danny. No, you know. Anyway. The Clippers completed the blockbuster deal only 6 nights after Commissioner David Stern, acting as the Hornets' de facto owner, because the Hornets are owned by the league. Why? Because the Hornets were badly run or can't get fans or something's wrong with them. Why? Because, oh, gee, what's this, number 2 NBA team in New Orleans? Why? I don't know. Do you? Why do you keep putting teams in New Orleans? good football market. They got a new, they got an arena down there. It's not, I realize it's not brand spanking new. It was built in, what, 96? So, yeah, it's getting up there. Jeez. It's 15 years old. So, Stern, in a conference call on Wednesday night, conceded the awkward position created by the league's ownership of the Hornets, but he defended the veto of the Lakers' deal and said the trade sending Paul to the Clippers is a very good transaction and better for the future of the Hornets than the transaction on which I did not sign off. The Clippers are sending the Hornets four of their best assets, shooting guard Eric Gordon, who turns 23 this month, the 2012 first-round draft pick that belonged to the Minnesota Timber Puppies, the promising young forward Al-Farouq Aminu, and center Chris Kaman, whose expiring contract will help the Hornets lower their payroll. Ain't that great? Minnesota's pick, which is unprotected, might be the most valuable piece in the package. The Timber Pups are almost guaranteed to be in the lottery again, and the 2012 draft is expected to be stocked with elite talent. Will Minnesota know what to do with it? No! World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. Sorry, Dan. But I don't stutter usually. We're going to see you guys tonight. Don't forget to visit our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, for all of the Elite stuff that we love to bring you. You know, all of the archives, all of our podcasts, and our videocasts, which we show you each and every night. Until then, this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Adios, we're a ghost.
Phil Hendry.
Thanks, Rick and Sud.